From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Broadcasting today, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And, it is great to, the reason I'm in a good mood today, and it's not that I'm not in a bad mood all the time, but I'm in a good mood today because we've got the team back with us. Dylan and Cassie were on fall break, and it is, Dylan, I know that you and the missus, you went over to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and was it what you expected? I mean, you'd never been to Hot Springs before, but was it a good trip for you and the missus?
It was a good trip. I will say, when you think about Hot Springs, when I thought about Hot Springs, I thought about Hot Springs, But we got there, and then all of a sudden, I found myself in a bath with other dudes.
I'm sorry, wait, what? Wait, what's going on here?
No baths with dudes, but they do have bathhouses. That's their thing.
Wait, bathhouses with dudes in Hot Springs?
Yeah, there were dudes.
Are you sure this was the right town for you, my friend?
I questioned it for a second, but then I realized I'm in the right place.
Wow.
No, but it was so fun. Yeah, Hot Springs, they have a lot of stuff going on. So good food, good scenery.
All right, well, that's good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, very nice. Well, thank you for the clarification there on the bathhouses in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
They use the natural water. It's like a spa. Myself for a second.
Oh, it's a spa.
There's
not
no
a
bath with dudes.
So you're not seeing any hairy, Eastern European men.
Correct.
Walking butt naked.
We're good there.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
It's
all
a spa.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, that makes sense then. All right, well, thank you. Well, anyway, welcome back. Good to have you with us here. So we've got a lot to talk about today. And the starting off point, this is just a little weird, so bear with me, because we've got a lot to talk about regarding the government shutdown. And also these crazy young Republicans out there, those crazy kids, and their text messaging. And we're going to get to all of that. I can promise you. A lot of people are shying away from the young Republicans story, but I'm not going to shy away. We're going to just do a deep dive right into it like it's a Hot Springs, Arkansas bathhouse. That sounded kind of weird. Just going to be honest with you. But I want to start today with this lady, and her name is, we're going to call her DD. She has been going viral nationwide, because of some things she's been posting on her TikTok page. DD lives in Memphis, Tennessee, and she is a black woman. She is she's married, and she has a child, and they're very active in the community. That is not her real name, and I'm not going to share her real name with you, but she and I just talked a few moments ago, and I want to share her story with you because she's really going through a situation that I suspect many blacks are going through in this nation right now. And we're going to play the original. And guys, let me know when we get the one I just sent over to you. When we get that ready, we're gonna play for you the video that went viral. And then there's the aftermath of that video. Many of you know that President Trump sending in the National Guard, using Memphis as sort of a test case city to see how things go. We have 1,200 federal assets on the ground in Memphis, and they are patrolling everywhere. Over 800 people have been arrested. 45 children that were missing have been recovered. It is just unbelievable. And the average citizen, and Memphis is a majority-minority city, so we have a lot of black citizens here. We have a lot of black listeners to the Todd Stearns radio show. And they, to the person, people are just so excited about what's happened here because many of the people that are weighing in are homeowners. They are families. They have moms and dads, and they want their kids to be able to just live in free America and not some sort of a war zone. And it's, I think we all want that for our kids, no matter where we live. And yet for many blacks, especially in America, that are stepping off or daring to step off into and away from the Democrat plantation, it is a very difficult thing for people to do. And the reason why is because of the blowback. The reason why is because it's not so simple as just stepping away from the Democrat Party. They will come after you. They will attack you. They will ostracize you. In many cases, you lose your sense of community outside of your family. And that is something that must be addressed in this country. And that's really where I think Republicans nationwide can really step up their game in reaching out to minority communities. And I think that that effort has been done and done well within the Hispanic community. But within the black community, I mean, this goes back generations, and you have to go back to the failed policies of FDR and ultimately LBJ. And what LBJ did and this Great Society program of his literally chained Americans, black and white and Hispanic, to the federal government. I mean, that's ultimately the problem here. So this lady comes out and she's just telling people because, you know, when you listen to the news, it's all about, oh, you know, Memphians are oppressed. The National Guard, they're pulling people out of their homes and they're sicking dogs on people in the streets and they're beating Hispanic people. It's none of it is true at all. As a matter of fact, when I've seen the National Guard, they're actually helping people. They're taking pictures with citizens. And this lady, all she did was she got on her TikTok, and she's very popular on TikTok. And Dee Dee sat down in front of the camera and she said, look, guys, here's what's going on. Take a listen.
Into politics. I'm not into all of that extra stuff that people be losing their life over. I ain't into all that. We human. What else? But I will say thank you to Trump for bringing these National Guards and doing what they're doing down here in Memphis right now. You know, for the first time in 5 years, I've been in my home for 5 years. And for the first time, my kids have been able to play in the backyard and be able to do it comfortably. I haven't heard a gunshot in 2 weeks. I haven't seen strange people walk up and down the street. Just a few weeks ago, I had somebody walk on the side of my house. None of that action's going on. I haven't seen no young at the store posted. I haven't seen an Infiniti fly past me in weeks. I'm sitting on my porch right now, and I'm watching kids outside playing. People outside walking with their kids, stuff I ain't never seen before living in my neighborhood. But all because we feel safe in this environment, unfortunately, because of the things that are happening here in the city. I hate it had to be this way, but I'm happy. I'm happy. Honestly, I truly feel that this is just a band-aid to the problem. I don't think this is going to completely fix everything. But to have a moment of peace, just thank you, Jesus.
That's what she said. And she said, we just want to have a moment of peace. I mean, how many of you folks in Portland, in Salem, Oregon, how many of you in Seattle or Washington, D.C. or Atlanta, how many of you are just praying for a moment of peace? So did you hear anything in there that sounded remotely offensive or political, aside from the fact that she thanked President Trump for sitting in the National Guard? And honestly, I don't know. I talked to the woman. I'll explain why I talked to her in just a moment. I will say this. I heard nothing political, nothing offensive. She used no bad language. There was the bleep was an inadvertent bleep. We didn't need to bleep what she said. But I'm just telling you, she is speaking for the majority of people in her city. This woman also happens to work for a major black publication in the Memphis area. And when her bosses found out what she said, when they watched that video, they fired her. They fired her because she thanked President Trump. Now, we're going to be standing alongside this lady, and we're going to do whatever we can to help this lady. And she, I don't know her politics. I don't know where she's coming from, because you know what? Crime and safety, public safety is not a political, it should not be a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. It ought to be an American issue. But I want you to listen to what this lady just had to say. Cut number three, please.
When I tell you freedom of speech ain't free, freedom of speech is not free, y'all. It's really sad, you know, for the past 72 hours, I've watched black people crucify me. People that don't even know my story. But to be crucified and to be silenced by the media company that I work for. So let me back it up for you guys, because I don't think y'all know me properly. My name is Delicia Ballinger, and I'm actually a journalist here in Memphis, Tennessee. I have been a journalist for a little bit over 6 years, working for a black news outlet called the Tri-State Defender here in Memphis. I cover everything from education to entertainment to now government. While I've always had my personal opinions and been vocal about my opinions and political stances and things of that nature, it wasn't until Friday, that video that you all seen with me sitting on my porch created a spark that I wasn't prepared for. And that's completely okay. It was my truth. It is my honesty. And to this very day, that is something that I still stand on. But now that I said, thanks, Trump, and gave a positive review on my experience and my take for what's happening here in Memphis, I have been silenced by the media company that I work for. There was an opportunity for me to actually speak to Fox News. Fox News wanted to speak with me in regards to my video, in which I was open and honest to the media company that I worked for about the opportunity. And I was basically told that if I go on this particular platform, I will basically lose my job. I actually could have lost my job for my honest opinion, my honest review on my porch. And my thing is, why? Because again, if you go through my videos, you can see that I talk about an array of things. I'm a well-rounded journalist. I'm not biased. I don't limit myself to sides. I don't take sides. But now, since I said something that pretty much kind of offended the black community, all for sharing my voice, I'm at risk of losing my job. I'm not gonna lie, this makes me have more empathy for Charlie Kirk. He had a right to say the things that he felt on his chest. That was his American right. That was his freedom of speech. And that man shouldn't have had to die for that. And his life was taken by his own people. And although it's not a physical bullet that has hit me, it truly feels like I've gotten hit in the chest yet again by my own people. I'm not a liar. And I'm not about to lie to the people. So I have some decisions to make. I don't know if anybody want a dope-ass journalist, a well-rounded journalist that can literally talk about anything. DM me, because I'm that girl. But I refuse to be silenced. You will be hearing more from me.
Well, the good news is that I like to hire Topaz journalists, and we've had a conversation with Dee Dee, and we're going to see how that progresses. But I can tell you this, we're going to stand alongside her. And that breaks my heart to hear that someone is going through that. And again, I don't know her politics because it doesn't matter. The fact is that everybody deserves to be able to live in a safe neighborhood. And if you've got Democrats out there, and that's, look, we've seen this happen. I mean, this is not the first time a journalist has been silenced, a person has been silenced for having an opinion about something. But we're going to stand alongside her, and we're going to try to get her on the show. Literally just had a long phone conversation with her moments before coming on this program. But I know she's listening today. And my question to you, the great listeners of this program all over the country, what do you want to tell Dee Dee? She needs to hear some encouraging words from her fellow countrymen, because she has lost her job. She's losing relationships and friendships. And as you heard her say, she's being crucified because of what she believes. That's unacceptable in America. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Nearly 2 years ago, terrorists murdered over 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 hostages. Today, the cries of the dead and dying seem drowned out by shouts of anti-Semitic hatred. The most brutal attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust is already fading from memory. Yet as the world looks away, a light breaks through the darkness. Christians are speaking out in love and support for Israel. United in faith, they will boldly stand with Israel this October, joining a growing movement, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Flags of Fellowship. Flags of Fellowship unites churches all over America, planting over 1 million Israeli flags across our land. Together, we'll combat hate and the scourge of anti-Semitism one flag at a time. And through our prayers, we can save lives, bring hope, and be a part of seeing a brighter future unfold. This October, please join this historic movement by donating your flag today. Visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. No, I'm just excited to see so many people standing up and saying, you know what, we're walking off the Democrat plantation. That's it. We're done. We're moving on to bigger and better things, and we want to claim our American dream. And if we as conservatives can get that message out there to communities that maybe haven't heard that message, we are going to change this nation for good forever. But we've got to do the work, and one of the ways we can do that is through our daily radio program, our 3 hours of conversation. Basically, we're a great big front porch, and we invite people to pull up a rocking chair, sit down for 3 hours of great conversation, sharing a few laughs, and you never know, we're always going to talk about food. I don't know why. That's just how it always happens. Because that's what we do here at the Todd Stearns radio program. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Vice President J.D. Vance is concerned about pearl clutching within the Republican Party. We're going to tell you about that coming up. Also, we have a crazy story about an elementary school in Massachusetts, and they're teaching the children. This is mandatory. Parents cannot opt their children out. They're teaching their children about transgenderism and same-sex marriage in kindergarten, five-year-olds. And they're giving the children a storybook that features two gay roosters. And the roosters are cuddling little baby chicks. So clearly whoever wrote this has never seen a farm or been to a barnyard, but we'll tell you what the heck is going on there with the gay roosters. Cock-a-doodle-doo! Cock-a-doodle-doo! We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, Janice from North Carolina calling in said, Todd, Dee Dee's voice needs to be heard. Todd should hire her. Well, let's see. We're excited to stand alongside freedom-loving patriots of all types, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian. As long as you're standing for freedom and liberty, we stand with you. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. The German Shepherd from South Carolina. Hi, German Shepherd. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to give Dee Dee some encouragement. I've learned in my walk 25 years of being a Christian that people ain't going to take your faith serious unless you've been through the fire. And that's what God's doing. He's just refining her and... You know, people are going to see her go through and have a positive reaction to what she's going through and a godly reaction. And people are going to take her more serious. And, you know, that's why we got to look at our word every day to stay focused on who God is and how powerful he is and not focus on the problem. So just want to give her some encouragement that, she's going to look back on this and be thankful for it one day.
You know, German Shepherd, I love this. I love this encouragement. And again, it's a reminder that our unity is not found in a political party, but it is found in God, in Christ. And that's the common denominator. So we cannot allow people to divide us along racial lines or political lines. We've got to keep our eyes focused on God.
Amen.
All right. Well, that'll preach. All right. We need to take about offering now. A German Shepherd. Good to hear from you, my friend. All right. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Shelby is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Shelby. What's on your mind today?
Oh, good. How are you, Mr.
I'm well. Thank you for asking. I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Very good. I would like to speak on the young lady, BD. Who worked or still works for Tri-State Defender?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that's one of my favorite papers as well, so I hope they don't fire her. And I hope they keep her. And as well, thank you for speaking up for her and offering her maybe even a talk show.
Well, you never know how it's going to go, Shelby, but I will say this. I will say this. That we do stand alongside and will defend anybody who is being silenced. And I heard nothing, and Shelby, we played what she said, and I think she probably speaks for a lot of people in her community. She lives in the Whitehaven area, and a lot of people are just so happy that their kids can go play in the backyard or they can walk to the park. And, you know, we haven't heard any gunfire lately, and, you know, things are starting to calm down here in the city.
However, it is safe in our neighborhood as it relates to children walking and playing outside, but I'm not sure about her particular street. But here's how I would like to encourage her. I want her to continue to be smart and wise and express her opinion like Harriet Tubman did, like Congress Lady one of the first person to run for U.S. President, Shirley Chisholm. Tell Miss BD to continue to be like those females and don't ever be like Tammy Sawyer as it relates to how she speaks in public. Because I'm very disappointed with Tammy Sawyer and also Congressman Jasmine as it relates to their public vernacular.
Jasmine Crockett, the congresswoman from Texas, Ms. Shelby.
Right. I don't like their profanity because we had outstanding ladies like a Shirley Chisholm, Maxine Smith. These ladies were in the political field, but they talked with such class, you know, and decency. So,
you know, Ms. Shelby, you reminded me of a story about Shirley Chisholm. There's a great movie about Shirley and her run for the White House. And of course, also running in that race was George Wallace, the segregationist governor of Alabama. And while he was campaigning, I believe in Maryland, if my memory serves me correct, in Maryland, he was the target of an assassin. He survived but was paralyzed. Do you know, Shelby, that it was Shirley Chisholm who actually made a beeline to the hospital to go and visit with him and pray with him in his hospital room? And again, she said the reason why she did that, she caught so much flack from the Democrat Party, but she said it was the Christian thing to do.
It was. It really was. And Liz Tart, I am also disappointed with our county mayor who has the audacity to talk against the state task force and who has the audacity to want to sue the troops and, you know, and the National Guards and the people who are coming here to help us. It can only help. So I think that County Mayor Harris needs to check himself as well.
Well, I think a lot of people need to check themselves, Ms. Shelby, but I'm very happy with how things are progressing and how things are going, and we're going to take that to heart about Ms. DD, and I know she's going to be so encouraged to hear folks giving her a kind word. Ms. Shelby, thank you for calling in, and folks, she's right. I mean, there was a time in American history where we had decorum, even in politics, as shocking as that may be. But when you have folks like, I don't know, Jasmine Crockett and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and AOC, and the list goes on and on and on, there is a lot of nastiness out there, a lot. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up later in the show, we're gonna do a deep dive. We're very busy pulling audio from a Supreme Court hearing that is underway right now that could basically obliterate the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And the case involves, it's a Louisiana's congressional map, and there's a battle over whether states can use race as a factor when they draw these districts. And if the Republicans win the day here, you're looking at least 15 or 16 congressional districts that the Democrats currently hold that are simply going away. And it just seems to me that no matter how you look at the Voting Rights Act and this component of the Voting Rights Act, which, by the way, this is a key provision of the act, it seems to me that either way you look at it, it's racist because you're telling the voters in that district, you have to vote for somebody based on their skin color. And I got a problem with that. I've always believed we vote for the best person for the job, period. It doesn't matter what color they are. So the concern from the Democrats is that they're going to lose power. And that's the only reason they're embracing the Voting Rights Act. But it is a dangerous thing. So we're going to be playing some audio, our team, following arguments, and we'll get to some of that moment. Well, as a matter of fact, do we have Clarence Thomas? This is, I love hearing from Clarence Thomas. We don't hear a lot from him, but here he is asking an important question during the hearing just moments ago.
What role did Robinson play in the development of SB 8?
Justice Thomas, Robinson is the only reason SB 8 exists. We fought tooth and nail in the Robinson litigation itself in telling the courts that we did not think the Constitution permitted us to draw a second majority black district. As you know, under protest, we drew SB 8 because the threat was that the federal courts were going to do it if we didn't. And that's, I mean, I think that's the best way to conceive of why SB 8 exists. We would never pass SB 8 in the first instance without Robinson, Justice Thomas.
What were the findings in Robinson?
The finding by the middle district in Robinson was that the plaintiffs in this case were likely to show a violation of Section 2. And the likely violation, and I'm using very broad terminology because I do not know what the underlying violation is. I can't articulate that for you, Justice Thomas, because I don't think anybody can. But I think the finding in the district court's mind in that case was that the likelihood of a Section 2 violation meant that a majority black district was required, a second one. And I think, like, that was the bottom line. And when our legislature saw that, we understood the marching order, and that's why you see SB 8 as it exists today.
Just briefly, what were the findings that led to that conclusion?
Well, Your Honor, running through the preconditions and the totality of the circumstances, I mean, I think the totality of the circumstances did most of the work for the Middle District in Robinson. Senate Factor 1, the official history of past discrimination. Justice Thomas, we can never outrun the bad era of poll taxes, of grandfather clauses, of literacy tests. I think we're always going to lose across the board on that kind of analysis. And that's what the Middle District in Robinson focused on, is how bad was Louisiana in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And, you know, add all that together, and at the end you have a vote dilution finding that I don't think is clearly articulable in the way that SFFA requires a finding of discrimination to be specified.
All right. Very clear, rational conversation right from Justice Thomas. Now I want you to hear Justice Jackson completely unhinged. Take a listen.
I guess I'm thinking of it, of the fact that remedial action, absent discriminatory intent, is really not a new idea in the civil rights laws. And my kind of paradigmatic example of this is something like the ADA. Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities. And so it was discriminatory in effect because these folks were not able to access these buildings. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant. Congress said the facilities have to be made equally open to people with disabilities if readily possible. I guess I don't understand why that's not what's happening here. The idea in Section 2 is that we are responding to current day manifestations of past and present decisions that disadvantage minorities and make it so that they don't have equal access to the voting system, right? They're disabled. In fact, we use the word disable in Milligan. We say that's a way in which you see that these processes are not equally open.
What? This is unbelievable. What? Justice Jackson, Ketanji Jackson, or Brown Jackson, just compared black people to disabled people. She said they don't have equal access to the voting system. They're disabled. This is nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. It's absolute nonsense. And by the way, this was supposed to be a question she was asking. So look, here's an important fact that you may not hear, you may not read about. But there are 60 black congressional districts, right? Black congressmen, congresswomen, 60. Out of those, only 15 came from these districts that were gerrymandered for race. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, an overwhelming majority of the black lawmakers in Congress were elected to their positions, and many of them were, in some cases, majority white districts. But those voters voted for the best person they felt like could represent them. So, again, it just goes to prove how racist and biased the Voting Rights Act is. And we don't need it. The American people have advanced, dare I say, evolved to a point where, you know what, skin color really doesn't matter. It only matters to the professional race agitators. Again, 60 black members of Congress, 15 of those came from those gerrymandered districts as a result of the Voting Rights Act. All of the rest of them came from majority white districts, majority Hispanic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's where we're at. So we're going to keep monitoring this. There are a lot of important cases being talked about today and being argued before the court. So we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is insane. Justin Jackson, just absolutely insane. The madness, and this is not the first time that she has just gone off kilter, but to somehow bring up people with disabilities, this is bonkers crazy. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
I have a question for all of our Oklahoma listeners. All you folks out there, Western Kansas, Western Oklahoma, have you noticed maybe it's a little bit safer on the roadways and the interstates? And I'm asking this because there has been a major crackdown by ICE and the Oklahoma Highway Patrol along a stretch of Interstate 40. This is in Western Oklahoma. And so far, they've arrested over 120 illegal aliens, 91 of whom were operating commercial vehicles. Now, just a few days ago, Senator Marsha Blackburn invited me to a concert that she was hosting in Nash, Vegas. Oh, Dylan, it was a Country Music Hall of Fame.
I thought she was singing for a second.
Front row, my friend.
That's very cool. Front row.
Me and Shenandoah.
Oh.
90s band.
Wow, you're... That's cool.
It was pretty. They played all the hits. They even threw in some Lynyrd Skynyrd, just for good measure. Sweet Home Alabama.
Man, that's a concert to be at.
They still have the hair they had in the 90s. Same styles and everything.
I see a lot of bands trying to still have the same hair.
And fashion. But anyway, it was a great concert. But anyway, I digress. We can talk about that later. Getting there, though. It was insane, and it was the Amazon truck drivers. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. They're the worst. I mean, you're trying to pass them, and they're, like, weaving, and you look up into the cab, and you get a gander, and I don't want to stereotype, but I'm going to. It looks like they know their way around a chalupa. I'm just going to tell you. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it sort of. I don't think they're speaking English. You know, and that's what gets me. Most of these guys are not speaking English. They're going to California and get there. That's where they're getting the commercial operators licenses. And the Department of Transportation is really concerned about this because they say these guys who do not speak English, they do not have, some of them don't even have a license, and yet they're driving these big rigs. So for the past 3 days, they've been doing these raids. They've been very intentional over in Oklahoma about getting these guys off the roadways. So anyway, God bless Sean Duffy. I mean, they're doing a terrific job, and we've got to do something about this because far too many illegals are behind the wheels of these big rigs, and people are losing their lives. So you really have to be on your game when it comes to all of that. So I noticed that as I was driving to Nashville and back, and they're, you know, these trucks are all over the place. And I know a lot of good law-abiding truck owners or truck drivers are really bothered by this, and they're enraged. 120 illegals in this three-day operation arrested. Multiple DUIs, illegal reentry into the U.S., money laundering, human smuggling, assault, conspiracy to distribute cocaine. And I think some of them may have been sampling the product, at least on I-40 in Tennessee. Of the 91 commercial drivers arrested, 80 had illegally entered the United States. Unbelievable. 39, believe it or not, from India. India, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. All right, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, President Trump later today expected to hold a press conference in the Oval Office. Those are always fun. FBI Director Kash Patel is going to be there as well. We're also hearing rumblings, this coming out of our friends over at Newsmax, that the next deployment of troops may be to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or New Orleans. So we'll keep you updated. If we hear any information, we will certainly pass that along to you. Another big story we are following, and this is coming out of ABC News, the Mexican cartels are now placing bounties on the heads of ICE officers and federal agents. According to ABC News, the cartels in Mexico offering bounties of up to $50,000 for hits on ICE agents and Border Patrol agents. This coming from Homeland Security. 2 weeks ago, the Justice Department charged a member of a Chicago-based gang with putting a bounty on Greg Bovino, the CBP commander, who is overseeing the surge operations in L.A., Chicago, and Portland. According to a press release from Homeland Security, drug cartels have disseminated a structured bounty program to incentivize violence against federal personnel. This is a big deal. So apparently they're offering, what, $2,000 for intel and the doxing of agents, $5,000 to $10,000 for kidnapping ICE agents, up to $50,000 for the assassination of high-ranking officials. Now do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, why they're wearing masks? Because they don't want their families targeted by these cartels. Also, and this is a disturbing development out of Chicago, where there have been so many violent protests outside of the ICE facility, we're being told now the fencing around that ICE building is now being removed under orders from a federal judge. In other words, the ICE agents are going to be completely exposed now. That's not going to end well. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There is a lot of activity in Republican primaries, and a lot of lawmakers who thought they were going to be running unopposed, well, they're finding out that the conservatives are pretty upset with the way things have been run lately. And a good many lawmakers, both in the House and the Senate, are facing primary opposition, including in the state of West Virginia, where Shelley Moore Capito is now facing a primary opponent, State Senator Tom Willis, active National Guardsman, Special Forces, and a great American patriot, good Christian man, and he joins us today on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator Willis, good to have you with us.
Todd, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
So what is it about your current senator that causes you problems, and why did you decide to run against her?
Well, it's a great question, Todd. I think that West Virginians are just tired of Rhino Shelley Moore Capito. She can't be trusted to protect our Second Amendment gun rights. She had a chance to vote to keep boys out of girls' sports. She skipped that vote, and the bill failed as a result. And she's been pro-choice most of her political career. She miraculously became pro-life after the Dobbs decision. So she's just inconsistent with West Virginia values, and she's never had a serious opponent because her father was governor, and they've got this whole family oligarchy thing going on in West Virginia, and folks are tired of it, and I'm giving West Virginia voters a conservative option in this next Republican primary, someone that's going to protect their gun rights and stand for life and protect our constitutional values.
What's been the reaction so far? You've been out there on the campaign trail. What are people telling you about Capito?
Well, exactly that, Todd. There's a lot of antipathy towards this family oligarchy type of thing where, you know, people in West Virginia are just sick of it. They want folks that, you know, stand for value, stand for principles, and aren't elected just because they have a family name because their daddy was governor. So the reception across the state has been really positive, and polls show that we're very close already, and we're really just getting started.
Well, I'm glad to see this because I think debate is always very healthy, and if Senator Capito really does want to represent the state of West Virginia, it seems to me, sir, that she has some explaining to do on some of the key culture and political issues of the day.
Well, she certainly does. I think one of the biggest ones, pretty much all of West Virginia cried out in 2022 and asked her not to support red flag gun confiscation laws. And she, you know, she flew right in the face of all of us, went ahead and voted to support it anyway. And I think West Virginians know deeply at this point that she can't be trusted to protect our gun rights. She voted against traditional marriage. She skipped the vote to keep boys out of girls' sports. Again, that one just happened this year, and we're trying to get the word out on this. So when folks are finding out about, you know, her voting record, she attacked President Trump after January 6th. She supported Biden's 56% of the time. She's voting in support of Biden and his policies. And, you know, the conservative voting agencies that are looking at the federal politicians, they're taking notice. So FreedomWorks, Heritage Action, CPAC, they all give her an F voter rating for conservative voting. And that's why she's rated as one of the most liberal Republican senators in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, that's why she's got to go. This is just not who West Virginia is now. And it's inconsistent with our West Virginia values and our West Virginia voter base.
I know I was reading your bio, and you're a decorated Green Beret, and you currently hold the rank of a lieutenant colonel in the West Virginia National Guard. I'm curious your take on President Trump and the decision to deploy the troops to cities like Memphis, Chicago, and other places, possibly even Boston now.
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing, Todd, is it's a real tale of two parties, right? On the one hand, you have President Trump and the Republican Party. It's a party of law and order, of security and stability. And then on the other hand, you have the Democrat Party. And it's a party of disorder and chaos, of lawlessness and insecurity. And a lot of these blue cities are really forcing the president's hand because it's not just a question of enforcing local and state law, which they're not doing, but they're also brazenly not enforcing and not cooperating with federal law and federal authorities. And it's important because it doesn't just affect the blue cities, right? This lawlessness that's going on in the blue cities, violation of federal law, violation of immigration laws, it's spreading across the country. So you've got human trafficking rings. You've got drug rings. You just spoke about the drug cartels and the war on ICE and the war on our country from the drug cartels. So we cannot have safe havens where these individuals and these organizations that have ill intent for our country and are conducting illegal criminal activities, we can't have safe havens where they can grow strong and expand their operations. And so, you know, I think in a lot of ways the president's hand has been forced. But look, I am a National Guard guy. My unit actually deployed, part of our unit, not all of it, but part of it actually deployed to Washington, D.C. lately. So I'm going to speak, you know, I don't want to go against my chain of command in any way. I want to maintain that professionalism. But I'll give you both sides of the story. So, you know, under Title 32, which is different than Title 10 orders, Title 10 orders are federal active duty. They're subject to the Posse Comitatus Act. They're not allowed to engage in law enforcement. Just so folks understand, the National Guard troops that we're talking about are under Title 32 orders. That's a National Guard status. It may be federally funded, but the legal authority comes from the state level, and they are allowed legally to engage in law enforcement support activities. And so that's what we're talking about here, and that's why we're using National Guard troops for law enforcement activities. The other side of the coin is, you know, it's very frustrating that these blue cities are not policing themselves and enforcing the laws. So now you have, for instance, you know, you've got a guardsman who, say, is a small business owner. He works for somebody. Now he's pulled out. He's got to go, or she's got to go and conduct law enforcement support activities in a blue city because the blue city's not doing their job. That person is missing baseball games. They're missing perhaps business deals. You know, they're away from their spouse, you know, away from their kids. So there's a human cost here when Democrat blue cities fail to enforce the law. And I think people need to be aware of that. You know, in addition to the legal scene, there's a human story behind each of these deployments as well.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. And by the way, folks, we have West Virginia State Senator Tom Willis joining us. He is challenging current sitting U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito. And that's going to be a wild race to watch. You know, when you look at where we are as a country right now, and we certainly see some enthusiasm among Gen Z voters getting out there and getting engaged in the culture. What encourages you, Senator, as you look out across the political landscape these days?
Well, it's a good point, Todd. You know, I was just giving a speech last night at a county event, and there were several young people in the room, and they represented some leadership positions in our state. The younger generation is really fired up. I think, you know, there are a couple of big eye openers for them that made them focus on politics more than perhaps our generation or the older generations. One was COVID, and you know, the curtain was pulled back on a lot of the nefarious activities, the misinformation and the lies from the CDC. You know, the exposure of the woke propaganda machine in our schools and universities, that was one. And then, of course, you know, the recent murder and assassination of Charlie Kirk, that was a huge one as well. And so I think that these things happening to their own age group in their generation has forced them to focus on politics. And, you know, the Democrats do well when folks aren't really paying attention and they're not digging too deep into the issues and asking questions. But if you focus on it, you start asking questions, you start using a little bit of logical analysis, you know, the right, the Republican, the conservative side has truth on its side. And so when you start, you know, a little bit of logical analysis, which the younger generation is doing now, they start saying, oh, you know what? What the Republicans are saying actually makes sense. And so I'm very encouraged. There's that. And then there's also a spiritual movement. Let's not forget to talk about that as well. There is a spiritual movement in the younger generation, and you know, it's exciting to see the Christian kingdom advance. You know, folks are getting saved; they're coming to Christ, and so there's like a political awakening and a spiritual awakening with that generation. So I'm very encouraged on both fronts.
Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us today, Senator. Where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign? Where can they do that?
Yeah, so we've got spots for people to volunteer to donate, TomWillis.com. It's very simple. Try to keep it easy. TomWillis.com. We would love to have everyone's support.
All right, TomWillis.com. Senator, good to have you with us. Good luck to you out there.
Thanks so much, Todd. Great talking to you.
All right, likewise. So there you go, challenging Shelley Moore Capito. By the way, you know, we've invited her on the show many times over the years, but she refuses to do so, and the reason why is she is, in fact, a rhino, and rhinos have an aversion to coming onto this program, and it's not because we're mean. We just ask very direct and pointed questions, and they don't like answering those questions. So there you go. Good luck to you, Senator Tom Willis. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Interesting story out of the New York Post. You know, there are a lot of cultural trends out there, and the latest one is what they call waiting online for meals. It is the latest craze. So Gen Zers are all about waiting for up to 2 or 3 hours in line to get a seat at a restaurant. This is happening in New York City. And they say it is all the buzz. It's not just so much that the food is okay, but it's all about the vibe of waiting in line with your friends. According to the New York Post, for Gen Z, the line is part of the vibe. It's another opportunity to post a reel or something online to show how it feels and what it's like. Dylan, are you guys doing this?
No, I hate lines.
I can't stand them.
I guess if you're going to try to make waiting in line cool, I mean, I guess if you don't want to, you know, be bored the whole time, sure. Whatever. I don't know. I guess this is a trend.
At 5 o'clock on a recent Friday on the Lower East Side, there was a line of 15 would-be diners hoping for a seat at the award-winning Haas snack bar, 30 minutes before the doors open. Some clutched tote bags, others sipped iced coffee, all united by one goal. Let me just say, if you're sipping coffee, I wouldn't do that. If you're waiting in line for up to 2 hours, nature's going to come a-calling. But they waited with one goal, a seat inside the city's trendiest French Vietnamese spot, serving sweet bread and pho-inspired onion soup and pâté. Ugh. Give me a good old-fashioned burger. That's what I say.
They're waiting in line for that?
They're waiting in line for it. You know,
that's the worst part.
I mean, you look down at the plate and you see it, and, you know, if your cat did something like that on your carpet, you'd rub its nose in there and smack it. No, Fluffy, no! Use the litter box! But people are standing in line for up to 2 hours there in New York. I don't know, what is the cutoff for standing in? For me, it's like if there's like anything over a 20-minute wait, I'm going somewhere else.
It depends on where you're at. Because for us, we had like a 45-minute wait when we were in Hot Springs. But you're in Hot Springs, and you're at like one of the only locally restaurants there. So you're okay with waiting, and you can go and walk around, wait for your name.
Back to the bathhouse,
get another bath in.
All right.
Mineral water.
All right, folks, how long do you wait? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
All right, I have a question, and this is an honest question. It's just a genuine question, and You know, here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show, we just try to help people stay out of trouble, right? We want to make sure everybody's coloring within the lines here. So you folks in Houston are having a bit of a problem right now. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, ordering cities to remove crosswalks that are rainbow colored. And this has been a big issue. They're calling them the Rainbow Pride crosswalks. And there was a big press conference yesterday in Houston. And I know our friends at Patriot Talk 920 have been talking about this story. But I'm just curious, local and state leaders gathering, and they're vowing to fight. They're standing up for the rainbow flavored crosswalks. I said flavored, Dylan, because I feel weird calling it colored, you know, rainbow colored. I don't think we're allowed to use that word in that context. So I'm trying to be careful here. That's what I'm trying to do. So when we come back, I have some questions about these rainbow flavored crosswalks and exactly what we're supposed to do when we come across them. Also, you folks in Houston, is that the most pressing issue facing your city right now? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
Welcome back. So I want to go back to this situation in Houston where there's a raging controversy over the homosexual crosswalks. They call them pride crosswalks, rainbow flavored is the phrase we use. Anyway, state lawmakers are very upset because the governor says, we got to stop that. We're not doing any more rainbow flavored crosswalks. And people are just up in arms about this. The Houston City Controller, Chris Hollins, says we cannot bow down. As a matter of fact, Harris County Attorney Christian Menefee becoming even more violent here. This is crazy. When they come to take your lunch money, you have to kick them in the teeth. Kick them in the teeth, boys. Yikes. I mean, isn't that a little harsh? I mean, we're talking about a crosswalk, right? I mean, isn't the whole point of a crosswalk to make sure you get from one side of the street to the other without getting, I don't know, run over? Is it really worth kicking somebody in the teeth just to paint over the crosswalk? Houston City Council member Abby Kamen says the crosswalk was put here for safety. And she called the governor's actions an attack on community expression and LGBTQ+ visibility. And it could have lasting repercussions. Hello, my name is Devontae, and I've been in a serious spiral ever since they painted over the crosswalk. I'm so anxious, I don't know what to do. I don't even cross the street anymore. I'm sorry, Devontae. I mean, that's a terrible thing. But really, I mean, it just seems like a little overreaction to me, unless the folks in Houston really, really do care about their crosswalks. May I just say something about this? And this troubles me because I've seen far too many people, and you know what I'm talking about. You've got these cars, and they inadvertently leave a skid mark on the rainbow crosswalk, and the next thing you know, they're getting charged with hate crimes. So I've always told people, and I may be wrong here, but I'm looking out for everybody. I tell people, if you come across a gay crosswalk, you need to immediately do a U-ey, pull a U-ey, and go the other way. And it doesn't matter how far out of the way you have to go, you've got to make sure you can get to where you're going without driving over the gay crosswalk, because I think it's a trap. I sincerely do. So, and heaven forbid you accidentally hit the brakes. Maybe it's a red light and you didn't see it, so you're slamming on the brakes and you're like, and the next thing you know, you're in jail. So that's my recommendation. But I just have a question, Dylan. So let's just say that you do need to cross the street, right? And let's just say that in this particular intersection, you have to use the gay crosswalk because there are four of them. So there's no way around it. Are you supposed to walk a certain way? Do you have to have a certain, like, I don't know, sachet? Is there a certain thing that you need to be doing when you're walking across a gay crosswalk?
Yeah, I think you have to maybe pretend like it's like a fashion
a runway?
Walkway. Yeah, a runway.
Get some Madonna music playing. Is that popular among the gays? I don't know.
Just get YMCA. Put it on your boombox.
Wait.
Maybe just have a slow strut.
Have a headdress ready to go just in case, you know.
Maybe whip the hair, you know, something.
Hello, world. Hello, Tesla.
Exactly.
You look fabulous. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I will do that the next time I encounter one of those crosswalks. I'm just concerned if I sashay, I'll throw a hip out. You know, nobody wants to do that. So I'm just asking because you never know, and you don't want to offend people. And if you're supposed to behave a certain way as you're crossing the street, you know, you want to know. All right, can we talk about the gay rooster? What the heck was that?
You like that?
What was that?
It's a gay rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, boys. All right, this story, I can't do this. This story at ToddStarnes.com. Here's the headline, Storybook for Kindergartners features gay roosters and men wearing leather harnesses. Oh, that's going to leave a mark, right? So this is all happening in Lexington, Massachusetts, a new curriculum for five-year-olds at the local elementary school. So in addition to teaching the children how to read and write, the Utes will also be exposed to storybooks featuring men wearing leather bondage attire. And we have the cartoon image for you to see at ToddStarnes.com. And Dylan, if you're on the website, you will notice you can kind of pick out who the lesbians are as well. Oh, and apparently there's at least one person who may or may not be trans. I can't tell. All for five-year-olds. The book is called This Day in June, and parents say it's nothing more than LGBT propaganda. The book is filled with cartoon images of a pride parade showing men wearing leather straps and harnesses and drag queens dressed like nuns. The caption on one of the images says, "Clad in leather, perfect weather." Really? Because it seems to me, in June, wearing leather outside would lead to unnecessary chafing. The book is part of the new social studies unit for kindergartners, according to a watchdog group called Massachusetts Informed Parents. Another lesson teaches the five-year-olds about same-sex couples, and it features a cartoon image of two homosexual roosters cuddling their baby chicks. Have you ever seen two roosters? You know, they don't like to pal around together. We have a lot of farmers, and maybe they can provide some guidance here on this. But I don't think the writer has ever stepped foot onto a farm or in the chicken coop, because the roosters are a little territorial, especially with the chicks. And I don't mean that in the derogatory sense. I literally mean the chicks. So... So anyway, parents are upset about this, and rightfully so. They're accusing the public school system there of smuggling sexuality, gender identity, and DEI into the classroom. And here's the this is the kicker, folks. It's all mandatory. Mandatory. One dad is actually suing because he was not allowed to opt his child out of these lessons. So the American Center for Law and Justice, our good buddy Jay Sekulow, is representing that guy. And it truly is one of the most egregious things, because the whole point about this is to confuse the children about their gender. In one of the lessons, I kid you not, the kids are literally told, and this is the instruction part of it, that little five-year-old, you can identify as a boy, a girl, both, or neither. And it seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, the most pressing issue facing our nation is this propaganda that's being forced into the minds of our kids. And the only way we're going to be able to fix it, we got to abolish the Department of Education. We still haven't done that. What are we waiting on? We've got to return control back to our local states. That is, it is an imperative, just an imperative. We cannot lose another generation to all of this woke nonsense. We just can't do it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. No, Dylan, I do not know if one of the gay roosters laid an egg. I don't think they can do that. And if they do, it would be painful. Let's go to Bussy in Oregon. KYKN, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Bussy. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I have a suggestion regarding the rainbow crosswalks.
Oh, I'm all ears.
I think all we simply need to do is correct them, leave them there, and simply write on them the meaning of the rainbow. Write on them that it comes from Genesis 9:11 in the Bible, and that after the flood, you know, where there was Noah's Ark, that God sent the rainbow as a symbol to tell us that he promised never to flood the earth again. And I think if we wrote a little blurb on there that explains that, that would kind of take care of the whole situation.
Wow. You know who might be somebody who would be a big proponent of that is our good friend Ken Ham over at Answers in Genesis. With the Ark, you know, if you've been over to Kentucky and seen the Ark, I mean, that's actually a great idea. Yeah. And yet a reminder, Bussy, that, you know, the rainbow, the whole concept was actually ripped right from the pages of the Holy Bible.
Yes.
I like that. I like that idea, Bussy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right. You too. I like that. Oh, by the way, back to the gay roosters for just a moment. So the school is responding to all of this now, and one of the teachers responding to a first grader's post. This is just so traumatic, and I know we're having a little bit of fun here, but this is insanity. And they're saying, well, we understand that some parts of the lesson plan may raise questions, but we want to assure you the goal is not to push a political agenda. It's pushing a sex agenda, sir. But to help young children feel safe, respected, and included at school. Folks, do you see what's happening here? I mean, how old were you? Do you remember back when you were in grade school? I mean, what age were you starting to think about the opposite sex? I mean, what, sixth grade, maybe seventh grade? Is that when it all sort of kicked in? And you're like, oh, wait a second. I'm wondering here, because I don't think five-year-olds are thinking about whether or not, you know, they are gay or transgender or have, an affinity for pots and pans. I just don't. And now you've got six-year-olds that are running around thinking that they're cats and dogs and wanting to use a litter box in their schools. So you can't tell me there's not an agenda. And what sort of psychological damage are these schools doing to these kids, forcing them to contemplate issues that they can't even, their brains are not even developed enough to comprehend? What is that do? All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. We'll be taking your calls on this. 901-260-5926. Oh, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Man, are they doing a great job. You know, there are a lot of people out there wanting your cell phone business, and I get it. but there's only one that I trust, and that would be Patriot Mobile. And the reason why is they're owned by Christians, they're owned by conservatives, and they're leading the way in what we're calling the red economy. This is a company that actually supports organizations that are fighting for our military, for the Second Amendment, and for the unborn. By the way, Patriot Mobile, one of the only carriers with access to all three major U.S. networks, and that means exceptional nationwide coverage. And they also have unlimited data plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, internet backup, and so much more. And by the way, switching is so easy. You get activated in just minutes from the comfort of your home. You get to keep your number. You keep your phone. You can even upgrade. So you can make the switch right now. Just head over to PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code Todd. And folks, they're going to give you a free month of service. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
And welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Richard, listening to us in beautiful Pascagoula, Mississippi, on the Gulf of America. WPMO, our great affiliate down there. Hi, Richard. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Been listening to your show off and on, and I just wanted to make a brief point that I would be very surprised if somewhere in the state DOT law there wasn't a set of specifications requiring the color and the dimensions of the crosswalk.
And that would probably be on a state-by-state level, I have to imagine.
I would think so, yes. But it's still, I can't imagine them not having it.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Richard, because I believe that there are some jurisdictions that do allow people to paint or do something to the crosswalks as long as they don't, you know, compromise safety. But by and large, you know, I would say most major cities, you're going to have the gay crosswalks, but everybody else is pretty much standard. They have a crosswalk for everybody.
Yeah, that's all I had to say.
Well, Richard, all right. Well, I hope you're having a good day down there on the Gulf of America, my friend.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Good guy right there. Great radio station, by the way. Want to say hello to our good buddy Noah, keeping things real down in the, what do they call it? The Gula? What do they call Pascagoula? That's not
good. Gula is close to Gula.
The Gula. Yeah, the Gula.
Gula.
Well, it's like Pensacola. Do they call Pensacola the Cola?
Maybe I think that's not. Already taken.
I don't know. I don't know. 901-260-5926. Where is this story? All right, ToddStearns.com. We have a lot of great new content up there for you. This story out of Pennsylvania, Franklin and Marshall College, where they're going through a controversy surrounding their mascots. Now, the mascots are Benjamin Franklin and Supreme Court Justice John Marshall. And the student body is very upset because they're saying that Benjamin Franklin and John Marshall are old white guys. Well, they're also dead, but I just want to point that out. They're also the namesakes of the college. But anyway, the mascots, two old white dudes dressed in colonial era garb named Franklin and Marshall. So now they want new mascots, and this is all about diversity. So they're going for something that has a different skin color, possibly different chromosomes. And they have created a mascot working group. And this group is going to be tasked with the assignment of coming up with a new mascot. But they're accusing Franklin and Marshall of being racist old dudes. And now they're suggesting a fluffy blue monster or a classy cow might possibly be suitable replacements, because nothing generates school spirit like a bloviating bovine. Stop pulling my udders! You know how the fraternity guys are. I mean, they're tough. They love beating up the mascots. That could be a bad situation there. They're also looking at renaming the nickname of the... They're called the Diplomats, Dylan. And so if they go with the cow theme, my question is, are the girls' teams going to be known as the Lady Heifers?
Ooh, you might have to if you're going to stick to that standard.
Looking large, girls. That bovine badonkadonk. Could be. They're going to have some issues working that out.
It's kind of like, it kind of reminds me when Ole Miss did this. They changed it from Colonel Reb, and then the land sharks. They could just have a land shark.
What? We don't have sharks. There are no sharks in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Lone sharks maybe, but no land sharks.
Stop changing mascots.
What is it? Is it like a bear now or something?
It's like a bear, and then it's a land shark.
Come on. Bring back Colonel Reb.
Bring him back.
I liked, he had pizzazz and style.
Yeah, he had that cane.
He did have the cane and the wide-brimmed hat. Mm-hmm. I see. Howdy, old miss. Am I crooked letter, home back. I'm just old Johnny Reb. Call me Colonel. I want some KFC. Oh, that's a different Colonel, but anyway. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hello, America. This is Todd Starnes. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Great to have you with us, as a matter of fact. Man, it's just been a busy day across the fruited plain. So we are waiting to hear from President Trump. He's going to be holding a press conference later this afternoon at the White House. We know the FBI Director Cash Patel is going to be there as well. We're really not giving, they're not giving us much intel on what we can expect, but if we find something out, we will certainly let you know. There is just a weird story out of the state of Maine, and we have a lot of listeners in that part of the country. And it involves ballots that were found in an Amazon box. A woman in Newburg, Maine, said she found 250 absentee ballots in an Amazon package. Just a few days later, absentee voting envelopes were reportedly found out of state, prompting a sweeping investigation into something they say that's never before happened in Maine. Well, never before that we know of. Now, the Secretary of State, Shenna Bellows, a Democrat running for governor, releasing very little information about her office's investigation. She says that Maine's elections are safe and secure. Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have David Jones with us, running for governor as a Republican in Maine. David, hope you're doing well today.
Yes, I am, Todd, and I appreciate you having me on here today.
Wow, what a crazy story here, David. And are you confident in what the Secretary of State is saying here and how she's running her office?
Absolutely not. I mean, the idea that, one, she's running for governor and going to monitor her own election. This is the same Secretary of State to try to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. But now we got 250 ballots that mysteriously turned up in an Amazon box that were lost in the town of Ellsworth and found in Newburgh. And I mean, and then on top of it, Todd, she went ahead and had her own people go and pick them up. And so we got the Secretary of State's people investigating the Secretary of State. We need the Department of Justice on this. I recommended that we have new ballots printed, but now look, voting's already started. So it's a little too late for that. And I've asked everybody in Maine to make sure they vote now. Go in and vote, make sure it's too big to rig, and then there's going to be no chance or any question, because this is a very sensitive question. It's about voter ID. You know, I mean, I think we need voter ID. You need ID to do anything in this country. And to cast a vote on what's going to determine what happens in our state and in our country, you don't have to prove who you are. I think it's absurd.
Of course, Janet Mills is what running for the U.S. Senate, and she's about to term out after 8 years. And right. I think she has been just one of the worst things to happen to the state of Maine. What is it that compelled you to jump into the race here, David?
Well, I've been involved in politics for 20 years now. You and I met some time ago. We were here in Maine, and you had the book, The Deplorables. And, you know, I don't know if you remember it or not, but...
Hold on. I remember that, and we've got a good buddy, Ray Richardson, over at WLOB, and was like an Irish pub or something? Man, that place was hopping.
Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah. We came in that night, maybe 100 people there, and, you know, a lot of books and a lot of signatures, and, you know, people in Maine love who you are. You do a great job.
Well,
but
thank you,
Janet Mills. She's off. It's off the charts. Here you got another one who defies the president of the United States. Title IX. I've given a couple speeches last week. You probably saw them all over the news, where women are taking their clothes off and at the school board meeting.
Oh, yeah.
To make a point about it. I'm sure you saw that, because it went.
You can't unsee it.
Yeah, you can't unsee it. But, you know, this is what Janet Mills has done. She has ruined our state. There's so many things that she's done. I mean, if I don't get elected as governor of the state of Maine, then people are walking around with blinders on and they're just totally deaf. I mean, because the bottom line, everything she's done, I just think is wrong. I don't see anything she could hang her hat on that I would agree with her. And, you know, our electric bills have gone up 36% in the past 12 months, 115% in the past 7 years. She took our budget from $7.5 billion to $11.6 billion. And when they go back in the session in January, they're going to hit $12 billion. So they're spending money like there's no tomorrow on what? On solar fields, which I'm totally opposed to. You know, if you want them, fine, do them on your own money, but not on taxpayers' dime. On windmills, or blowing the tops of mountains off and put windmills up there. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And now she wants to be a United States senator? We've had a great senator in Susan Collins. We have the Supreme Court in our hands as a result of what Susan Collins has done. So, I mean, when we needed her, she's there. And the bottom line, to put a person like Janet Mills as the United States senator? I don't think so.
One of the things that I really appreciate about you, David, is that you've not been in politics. You've been in the business world. And you've built businesses, you've employed people, you know what it's like to sign those payroll checks, whether it's once a week or every other week. So you know what it's like. And I'm, you know, the more I think about it, the more we need people like you, job creators. That's what we need running for office these days.
Oh, I appreciate that, Todd. You know, I started my company when I was 17 years old. I've been signing the front of the check as long as I've known. I've never had a job. I've always worked for myself. I built a good company. I own F.O. Bailey Real Estate. Now it's Maine's oldest continuous running company. It's 206 years old.
Wow.
I'm the fourth owner. So, you know, I do residential and commercial real estate. I know what it's like to get people to work. I know what it's like to create jobs. I know what it's like to build. I built thousands of homes myself. And, you know, so we don't have that in government. We got a bunch of ideologues. I always say the only difference between an idiot and ideology is just a couple of letters. These people that are making decisions with taxpayer dollars, they have no idea what they're doing. And, you know, if you're up there and it's not your money, OPM, right, other people's money, then, you know, and somebody says, oh, this is a good thing to do. Just go ahead and sign or push the button and vote for that. Oh, okay, whatever you say, as long as I get this little thing that I'm looking for. I mean, it's wrong. We're supposed to have a representative form of government, Todd, right, that represents the taxpayers here in the state of Maine and in the United States of America. We have it with Donald J. Trump. Look what that man has done. I've been a Trump advocate since before he came down the escalator, you know, and I created a super PAC called Making Maine Great Again in 2016. We came 22,000 votes away from turning the state of Maine red. 22,000 votes, how close it was. And we could do the same thing in 2026. We just have to work together.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And we have David Jones joining us. He's running for governor of Maine. By the way, the website, jones2026.com. Again, that website, jones2026.com. If you'd like to get information on David's his bio, his platform, and you talk about wanting to really restore the state of Maine, and much like the rest of the country, you know, when Trump came in, there were a lot of dumpster fires burning then, a lot of dumpster fires burning in Maine. What would you say is the top priority once you're elected?
Well, energy costs. I mean, we got to get and make energy affordable, because with energy affordable, then we can get businesses to want to invest in the state of Maine. People don't want to touch. It's like picking up a hot potato. Why would they come here when the energy costs are through the roof? And what do we need in Maine? We need jobs. And how do you get, you know, who provides jobs? Businesses, right? And so without businesses, we don't have jobs. It's a, you know, it's a big circle, Todd. You know that. I mean, bottom line is we need people to invest in our state. They need to know that it's not a pendulum. And then the next guy comes in here and elected as governor after I'm out. And then it changes again. We have to have consistency. And we don't have that. You know, it's a big pendulum. It goes from D to R. It goes from R to we're cutting things, saving things, paying off the hospitals. It goes back to D. They don't pay the hospitals. They don't pay the people. And they give people in the state benefits that don't deserve it and should not get it. So, I mean, it's a crazy way of an environment. You know, for me, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Look, I've been married 40 years. I have 6 kids. I have 8 grandkids. One was born this morning. And I'm telling you, I want them to stay here in the state of Maine. I know other people feel the same way. We have a beautiful state, a beautiful state. But yeah, it's run by a bunch of clowns. It's a shame, but that's the way it is. It's nothing more than a circus, and they're spending our money like there's no tomorrow.
Mm. David, we're going to have to leave it there. Congratulations on the grandbaby, by the way. That's exciting news.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's Eloise Renee Jones. She's a doll, 7 pounds, 11 ounces.
Wow. That's fantastic. Congratulations. David, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to get you back on again to talk some more specific issues. But again, if people want to get more information, jones2026.com. David, good luck to you.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day.
You do as well. Good man right there, everybody. David Jones, running for the governorship in Maine. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Calvin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
All right, a little bit of breaking news for you. So it involves the War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, and he was on his way back to the United States. There was an in-flight emergency declared on board the Air Force jet that was bringing him back. And we do have an update for you on what's going on there. This is from Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. Apparently, there was a cracked window or the windshield of the aircraft cracked. So the pilot dropped it down to 10,000 feet. They have landed safely now, and everybody on board is okay. Nobody got injured, including Secretary Hegseth, so everybody's doing okay. They landed in the UK due to that crack in the windshield. So there you go, the very latest there. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Scott, listening to us in South Portland, Maine. Hi, Scott, what's going on?
Hey, it's good to hear your voice again. I wish you guys were on LOB, but hey, c'est la vie, huh? But anyway, I have met David Jones. I've been to his office, and he actually gave me a whole bunch of placards at one point to, you know, for the Trump election. And so, you know, it was a great help. And one of the interesting things, of course, we had vandalism. People were ripping them out, and so I had to go back, and I had to fix a bunch of them. There were at least five that were stolen. So I created my own placards, and I said, you know what? The Constitution of the United States guarantees all of us the freedom of expression, you know, freedom of speech and so on and so forth. I protect your right to do so. Please respect mine as well. But it was incredible. And I just wanted to say, David is a great man. I listen to him all the time with Ray Richardson. And I'll tell you what, we've got some conservative values in the state of Maine that right now are not able to do a whole lot, but they're in the running, and we've got to get these fools out of office who are destroying this great state.
Well, I have no doubt that you guys have a lot of conservatives there, Scott, and I've had a chance to meet a lot of them during our visits to Maine, and Ray Richardson is great people as well. Let me ask you about David and his message. Is it getting out there? Are people receptive to what he's saying out there on the campaign trail?
To be honest with you, I'm a little bit concerned about that. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a promise to go to Ray Richardson's, the radio station, and meet up with them and see what I can do, because I don't see a whole lot of activity right now. We've got to get this guy up in the front running, and we've got to get out there. I'll even make placards myself. And I'll put them up and down the main turnpike if I need to.
I love that. You see, and that's the kind of spirit we need. It's like whatever it takes, you get out there, you volunteer. If you don't have signs, make signs. You know, if you need volunteers, go out and grab people. Get them involved. I mean, it's really a grassroots effort. And as President Trump showed, you know, even a grassroots effort can be a winning effort and a winning movement at the end of the day. So, Scott, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to us. Let's go to Virginia, our great affiliate, WINC. Wayne is on the line. And, Wayne, I understand you want to weigh in on DD, the lady we were talking about in the first hour of the show.
Yes, Todd, I'm a first-time caller. I want to encourage that woman to stand her ground. She's a kind of patriotism and honesty. We need to get back into this country. I'm just an old hillbilly born in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, but I'm red, white, and blue all the way through. And I hope that God blesses her 10 times fold what she had to begin with.
Well,
I have to say,
I love hearing that, Wayne. You sound like a great American patriot, and Dee Dee, I know, has to be encouraged by your kind words.
Yes, God bless her. I think we're all out here praying for her. I hope things work out better for her.
Wayne, you guys have a great little radio station out there.
Yeah, it just turned into a better one since we got you on the air.
Well, you're kind to say that. Well, they're good people, and we love hearing from our friends over in Virginia. And good luck to you, Wayne, because you guys have a big election coming up with Winsome Sears.
Yes, I hope she wins, because I don't want to have a lot to say for Transbender. Yeah. Burger, whatever her name is.
Transburger. I think I'll take a pass on that burger.
Yeah, me too. You take care of yourself now, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot, Wayne. Thanks for calling in. Wow, that is going to be an insane race in Virginia. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Steve Gill. There is a huge controversy involving the young Republicans. And there were some text messages that were leaked out. And how those were leaked out remains to be seen. But they were private text messages. And in these group chats, you had young Republican leaders. And we're not talking about college kids. We're talking about people in their 30s and, well, in their 30s, late 20s, early 30s. So these aren't kids. These are grown adults. And they were joking about things like Jewish gas chambers, slavery, rape. I think people were writing about how they love Hitler. There's some ugly stuff. Using the F word to refer to gay people. Using racial slurs, the whole nine yards. And they referred to black people as monkeys, watermelon people. They talked about putting political opponents in gas chambers. And it just gets worse. So now some of these Republican leaders are losing their positions. Some state Republican parties have already shut down their young Republican chapters, and there's a lot of fallout. But J.D. Vance, the vice president, is actually standing up for these young Republicans and says that this is nothing more than pearl clutching. And he said what we ought to be focused on is what Jay Jones and the Democrats are doing, which is advocating for the literal murder and assassination of their political opponents. Now, I'm just of the opinion, why can't we condemn both? I just don't understand that. Does that make me a bad person? Because apparently it does, because I've already gotten a lot of blowback. Todd Starnes, you just don't have a sense of humor. Yeah, well, you know, using the N-word and wanting to send people to the gas chambers, I just don't find that to be humorous. So I'm trying to understand the humor here. But again, there's a lot of fire and a lot of fury right now directed at young Republicans. We'll check in with Steve Gill when we come back. 901-260-5926.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Dylan, when we get what I just sent you, let me know. We'll play it on air. Great to have you back with us. I want to bring in Steve Gill. He is the publisher of the TriStarDaily.com. And Steve, I appreciate you. First of all, I'm just glad you actually agreed to talk about this issue, because nobody in the Republican world wants to tackle this crazy story involving the young Republicans.
Well, they were New York young Republicans, so we got to cut them a little slack. They're used to using language like that.
Well, you know what I thought was
their heart.
Yep. So, and correct me if I'm wrong here. I mean, you know, we've known each other for decades. So, if I'm out of line here, just let me know. But it just seems to me, we can condemn what they wrote in those text messages, just like we can condemn what the Democrats are doing, but at least Republicans call out bad behavior when it's on our side of the aisle.
Yeah, and I think that they should be called out on it. I think they are learning an important lesson young and early in their lives, which is always better than having to learn it late. But it also, as they used to tell us in kindergarten and elementary school, Todd, it shouldn't go on their permanent record. They made a mistake. They were apparently joking and kidding with each other. And some of it, again, first of all, the same thing that I said with respect to both Republicans and Democrats, you never throw away the Hitler word, the Nazi word, the Gestapo word, because the only Hitler, Nazis, and Gestapos were during the 1930s and 40s. Nobody today is in that realm. So don't even use that language, whether you're joking or referring to your enemies or anybody else. And that ought to be a rule that everybody should be able to follow pretty easily. But at the same time, we as Republicans were constantly called Nazis and Hitler and Gestapo. So I think some of what they were engaging in is, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of Hitler. Saying that, it's so ridiculous to say it, that they were mocking the words that were being put on them. Again, you and I learned a long time ago in radio, you don't say anything if there's a mic in the room or if you're out in the middle of the desert that you don't figure is being broadcast somewhere. You don't write anything. You don't text anything that you aren't expecting that somebody can forward to somebody that you're not intending to see it.
Yeah.
So, again, hopefully these are lessons they will learn, life lessons that they can apply for the rest of their career in media, politics, or anything else. Don't say it. Don't write it. Don't do it. Todd, when I went to work at the White House, they had the ethics procedure and manual that was about the size of the New York City phone book, and the guy plopped it down with a big loud thump on the desk and said, look, we can go through every page of this, or I can tell you the short shrift of this. Don't do anything you wouldn't want your grandmother to read about on the front page of the Washington Post tomorrow. And that's pretty doggone good advice for all of us.
It really is. I mean, and again, I did take it. There were a couple of things I took issue with. The whole line about the Arkansas, they alleged that the good people of Arkansas were doing unbiblical things with livestock. And I did take issue with that. I just want to point that out. It's interesting, though. The vice president, so I'm not sure why
not to follow the same joke line, Todd, but wouldn't that be the pot calling the kettle black coming from people in New York? Bless their heart.
Well, could be, yeah. So look, the vice president, Steve, the vice president, J.D. Vance, weighed in on this, and I think that's the problem, is the VP probably should have stayed out of this, because that just elevates the conversation. He said, referring to what Jay Jones wrote, this is far worse than anything said in a college group chat, and the guy who said it could become the AG. I refuse to join the pearl clutching when powerful people call for political violence. And I get it. But again, I mean, if you're, let's just say that you're a card carrying Republican and you've got people within the party that are calling you the F word, disparaging your character, I don't think that's pearl clutching at all. I know Elise Stefanik has weighed in now, and she's accusing the Democrats of hyperventilating about the Politico hit piece and having a double standard. Well, it is a double standard, but the reality here, Steve, is those text messages actually expose what I've been warning people about, and it's not the time to go into the civil war that is percolating in the Republican Party, but we got a big problem on our hands, and that is just symptomatic of what's in those text messages.
J.D. Vance's point is exactly right, but there are so many of us, Todd, who could make that point, that again— stupid college kids saying stupid things to each other is not the same when you have a guy running to be the top law enforcement officer in Virginia.
But Steve, let's get
the murder of the Speaker of the House.
No, I get that. But let's get real. These aren't college kids. We're not talking about college Republicans. These are young Republicans, kids in their late 20s and early 30s. So they should know better. I mean, again, I get it, but they're not college kids.
Yeah, some of them apparently haven't advanced from sophomore years and sophomoric humor. And you're exactly right. Again, we can't necessarily cut them too much slack for being, oh, they're young, when you've got folks that are in their age that have been defending us on the front lines of freedom in the military by that age for over a decade.
Sure.
So, yeah, again, I think it's important to put this in context, but it's also, again, to J.D. Vance's point, it is not the same when we've seen Democrats go from words to action, whether it's the assassination of Charlie Kirk, whether it's the attempted assassinations of Trump, whether it's those taking shots at ICE agents after being revved up by Democrat political leaders. There are violent acts that are being conducted, you know, at the behest of Democrat leaders. And that's, as J.D. Vance pointed out, it's a lot worse. But there are plenty of folks like you and me and others that can carry that message without the Vice President of the United States getting engaged.
Yeah, and exactly the point. Yeah, all of this stuff is terrible, off color, and, you know, shame on you for saying it. But at least they're not going out there killing people. I mean, and threatening to put bullets in people's heads. I mean, good Lord. By the way, Steve Gill is joining us, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. And you got to go check out that awesome website. Steve, I'm going to play some audio. This just happened up on Capitol Hill. You're going to hear from Nancy Pelosi. And she goes ape poop on a reporter who's asking her a question. But what you all, and I'm going to do my best to describe this to our audience. The visuals are really stunning because Pelosi is on the steps of the Capitol, right outside the Capitol building. She's wearing this like green velvet outfit, which looks like, if you remember the old Carol Burnett show when they did a spoof of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, making the, you know, the drapes. It's that color of the drapes. But this is Nancy Pelosi. Let's take a listen.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Shut up. Shut up.
By the way, that Carol Burnett skit was one of the best ones, and they had amazing ones all the time.
It but was.
Yeah, the drapes, you know, being worn in the spoof of Gone with the Wind was one of the best. The only thing I can say, I'd rather see her in the green drape outfit than riding a bicycle naked in Portland, as we saw the Democrat protesters the last few days. So maybe at least Democrats are moving in the right direction. They're wearing ugly clothes rather than revealing their ugly bodies.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fair point. But the reality is, you know, Pelosi is caught on tape. A lot of people didn't realize that her daughter, who's a documentary maker, was actually there on J6 filming, just coincidentally, filming all of this. And it was very clear that Nancy Pelosi actually admitted on camera that she was at fault for not bringing in the National Guard.
You know, like the young Republicans in New York, don't ever forget that what you write, what you tape, what you record does have a permanent life. And apparently Democrats forget this all the time, as apparently the college Republicans did with what they were texting. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats were clearly part of inciting what happened that day. You know, you've had them lie under oath that there were no FBI agents that were interspersed. There were no undercover agents. We now know it was at least 254. And they knew, and they lied under oath, and they should be being walked out of their homes at 6 o'clock in the morning with television cameras rolling as they get perp walked to the nearest courthouse.
Well, there you have it. Steve Gill on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Steve, it's nonstop. It just doesn't stop. And it's going to be a wild midterm election. I can tell you that much.
At least we won't have dead air time, Todd, because we'll have so much to talk about.
Well, there you go. All right, Steve, we're going to let you get back at it, my friend. Good hearing from you.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks.
All right, there you go. You got to watch those texts, kids. By the way, I just figured out that the that little emoji, Dylan, it had nothing to do with pudding. I learned something new this week.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, it's a poo-poo?
It's the poo.
Yeah.
It's the poo. It's not chocolate pudding.
You learn something new.
Mm-hmm. You do. All right, the more you know, ladies and gentlemen, the more you know. All right, big news coming from the world of Newsmax. And by the way, we will be providing you live wall-to-wall coverage of whatever President Trump says in the Oval Office later this afternoon with Cash Patel. Our good buddy, Congressman Burgess Owens from Utah, is joining us. Also, Angie Wong and Josh Jones, are going to be with us. It's going to be a lot of fun starting at 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. You know, just before Charlie died, he issued a warning about the dangers and the threats ahead in this country for people who stand for truth. And that's one of the reasons why Charlie agreed to write the foreword for a new book called Pagan Threat, written by our friend, Pastor Lucas Miles. Lucas is also in charge of Turning Point USA Faith. Charlie, writing in the book, said that you've really got to read this book to stop the wokeness that has infected America. And certainly a lot of Americans have done just that. Pagan Threat, available wherever books are sold. And you can get Pagan Threat free with Newsmax's special offer. Save $30 by going online right now to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com. Millions are tuning to Newsmax on all major cable systems, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones, and they're getting Pagan Threat to see Charlie Kirk's final words. So be sure to go check that out at paganthreat.com. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Great to have you with us today. Have you heard about the story out of Australia? A lady by the name of Chloe Sutton, she's the mother of a 19-month-old, and she's been accused of falsifying her son's physique. This is weird. So there's a photo circulating. Dylan, have you seen the photo? This child looks like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, like fully, already full Andre the Giant.
19-month-old, 33 pounds. And they're saying that she's using AI to, like, make her son not, you know, not look like he really does. She says that a lot of people are thinking he's AI, but he's not AI. Mrs. Sutton says, this is my son. He's just a big baby. By the way, she's... The audience for her videos is like over 8 million. And that's a large giant. You know, I mean, it seems to me the easiest thing to do is send a TV crew over there and see if the baby really is that ginormous. You know, I'm not sure what age you stop, you switch over to the bottle. That would be awkward if she does that in public.
Yeah, that's a bottle immediately, baby. My question is, why would it be AI? Why would you like make your baby bigger on AI on purpose?
Well, she's 5'6", and so in the video she's like hoisting up her. They're calling. I love this story. The huge tot, whose body spans more than half the length of her frame, proving that the not-so-little one's size is, in fact, natural. But skeptics are still not convinced the child is even real, that it's even a human. The whole thing, they think the whole thing is automated. But her husband is 6'2". So, well, there you go. So, I mean, that could be why the baby is that big.
Yeah, he's 6'2", but he's already 6'2". The baby is ready to start for the Warriors tomorrow.
Giving birth to your child, and it's 5'11". Breastfeeding mothers in New York City and beyond have credited the protein-rich nectar with helping... Is this the New York Post? So they're saying that it's all because of breastfeeding. I don't know about that. Baby Yoo-hoo. But it's not a fat baby, right? I mean, he's just big boned.
The chocolate milk, Yoo-hoo?
Yoo-hoo, I love that.
Kind of watered down.
Yeah, but the thing is, once you chug the Yoo-hoos, I mean, you know, you're addicted.
Yeah.
It's like liquid crack.
Addicted to the toilet, too. That'll make you go.
With Yoo-hoo?
Yeah.
I'm
lactose intolerant. I'm speaking for myself.
All right. Well, yeah.
Sharing too much, probably.
Yeah, way too much. Just turn that mic off.
Baby is big.
Macy Mugile, a 20-year-old mom of one, was recently accused of child abuse owing to the massive weight of her son, Gunner. Born at just 6 pounds, Gunner soon tipped the scales at a hefty 22.5 pounds by month four. That's the average weight for a baby boy at the 11-month mark. By the time she's from, by the way, and here's another one, Upper West Side mom, Alexa Prego's son, Kaysen, hit 11 months old, and he weighed a whopping 30 pounds. Well, that sounds Italian, so the kid's probably getting some pretty good, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. So I don't know. The baby is not fat, so this is not a matter of just, like, stuffing the kid's face with Twinkies. I mean, the kid is just a big kid. Well, I don't know. Now, Mrs. Prego said, people stop me on the street to tell me how cute my son is, claiming strangers often mistake her newborn for a 3-year-old. She attributed her sizable sweetie's chunkiness to breastfeeding. I don't know. I mean, most babies are just not that large. I mean, there are some big boys, but I don't know. This, going back and looking at the video again, I don't know if it's camera placement or what, but something's not right there. I'm telling you, something is just not right. Oh, here's a story. We're going to have to talk more about this tomorrow. Gen Z now desperate for landlines. You know, we spent all this time getting everybody cutting the cord, and does anybody actually have a landline telephone anymore? We're going to have to talk about this tomorrow because this is a huge deal. You know, there was a time, Dylan, when the only phone you had was actually tethered to the wall in your kitchen. Or if you were wealthy, maybe you had one in the living room. And if you were like a millionaire, well, you had one in the, you know, the bedroom. But now everybody's got their own little smartphones. But now Gen Z, you know, what is, you know, new is old again and vice versa. And what is old is new again. Yeah, I got that right. I had to think for a second. So anyway, a lot of Gen Zers are missing that whole, you know, the phone is in the house, don't bother me otherwise. This is, you know, who's going to be kicking themselves are the folks over at the phone companies. They started discontinuing all of the landlines.
We weren't even alive for the landline times.
You missed it. That was a good time.
I bet.
And when the phone rang during dinner time, don't answer it. We're having supper. We're talking about this tomorrow on the show. All right, we've got to call it a day, everybody. Hey, we will see you tonight on Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern. We'll see you tomorrow on the radio, noon Eastern, right here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, check out toddstarnes.com. We have some great new content just posted.